like to invite the following people to join me for lunch.
I think we should share an awesome blossom. What do you say? They are awesome.
Order!
Cheeseburger, please!
Get off, Napoleon. Make yourself a dang quesadilla.
And I'll have the number 8. That's a party platter. It serves 12 people. I know what I'm about, son.
This burrito is delicious, but it is filling.
Okay, I'll have the linguine, red sauce on the side. If the sauce does not come on the side, I will send it back.
Can I take your order?
It's time for the Lunch Rush. The latest and greatest in sports news. Here's Brady Hall.
All right, I'm still going to stand by this. I need to see a couple more seasons, but Shohei Ohtani, man. He is, Tanner's got something there. Tanner, of course, is saying that Shohei Ohtani is the best baseball player ever. He's the GOAT. Not a Hall of Famer, the GOAT. He is the best to ever do it. And I guess I'm more like, I got to see it another year or two. This kind of stuff makes legends of people, though. You know, we always make fun of pitchers. They get a hangnail or whatever, messes with it. Then you go, oh, the pitcher. But again, we all understand. Pitcher, it's hard to pitch if your fingers, if you have a blister or whatever. It is difficult to pitch. Anyway, we make the jokes. He cracked a nail as a pitcher. And so it was on his right middle finger. Seconds later, he's a hitter now. He extended on a low and away splitter and unleashed a towering opposite field home run, his second of the night. And it was a blast, too. Another breathtaking performance by Shohei Ohtani. He reached all four times he came to bat. He contributed six and a third innings of one-run ball. I mean, he's the best player currently in baseball. I will agree with Tanner on that. There's no disagreement there. He is the best player. But I still need to see a year or two, right? We can't give in this quick, right? You got to give it a year or two, right? Two more years? Two more years at this level, and we could say, you're the greatest to ever do it. Fair? Are you there now?
I still think he needs a championship. I get that's harder in baseball, but like it would be just weird if he retired one day and has all these amazing stats, but he never had a ring or anything.
True.
Be like, oh man, that would. Could you imagine if he had a couple of rings? Then he would for sure be the GOAT. But
yeah, I don't know.
You could still be Baseball's the GOAT different. Without a title, but it's going to be a knock on you.
It would be a knock, sure. But baseball, Tanner's argument of, well, if you're a baseball player, you don't get to control as much. Well, in Shohei Ohtani's case, he does control a lot. He's a pitcher, but he's not pitching every single day. I get that. But he's something else. He's must-see TV. I will tune in to watch a Shohei Ohtani game. Yep, I'm there now. I will tune in. Absolutely. Every time he's up, you expect something magical to happen. Phil Mickelson is very optimistic about the golf's future as the two sides continue to talk. These were his first public comments since the PGA Tour's alliance with the DP World Tour and Saudi Arabia's public investment fund was announced back in early June. Phil Mickelson said he's happy the sides are working to bring the fractured sport back together. During a news conference Wednesday ahead of this week's LIV Golf League tournament in Spain, Mickelson told reports this, "I would say I felt appreciation that we got to this point and we're working together because it makes me confident with where the game of golf is headed in the future. We felt like it was going to be about 2 years roughly before we got to that point. It took a year and a half or 6 months quicker than I thought." He didn't want to talk about it about a month ago. He declined earlier in the month, but now he's ready. He's kind of, reflected on everything, and now he's talking about it. Earlier in the program, we brought this up, but just to refresh you guys during this lunch rush, the NFL is going to suspend some players here. A handful of NFL players. And one name we have right now, Indianapolis Colts cornerback and kick returner Isaiah Rodgers, are expected to receive season-long suspensions. Season-long suspensions this week for violating the NFL's policy on gambling. Sources told ESPN's Adam Schefter on Wednesday. We're going to get a bunch of players coming out. It's rumored that Isaiah Rodgers did gamble on his own team. But this, as funny as it sounds, not funny. Guys get suspended when they break the law. They do other things, sexual assault, all that stuff. They miss a few games here and there. But if you tamper with the game, by any stretch, We will come down on you extremely hard. Gambling, you're out for a year, maybe more. Get some kind of, whatever. Do a Ja Morant type thing, or have some kind of. I mean, how many games did Deshaun Watson end up getting suspended for?
It's like, say 12.
Was it 12?
I think it was
12. 11 or 12. Don't you think the optics of that just seems so weird? You, Isaiah Rodgers, Calvin Ridley, these guys, they get suspended for a year for gambling, which is legal, I guess, depending on the state. And I'm not arguing. I don't think they should gamble on their sport. I think it's ridiculous. But it's just the optics of it sounds so strange. Deshaun Watson was accused, though. He wasn't found guilty. He was accused. Clearly, they found him guilty. So, like, they can't use that argument of, well, he wasn't found guilty of it. Then why'd you suspend him? Well, because he maybe did it. Then why is he even in the league? I mean, so he gets 12 games or whatever. And these guys, if you gamble on the NFL, you're out for a year. That just looks weird to me. I get it. You can't. If you screw with the integrity of the game, then all of us stop betting. Because if we start sniffing stuff out like, okay, the players are betting on games. They know something we don't. The fix is in. Do you agree with that? Do you agree with that, Angel, that a guy like Deshaun Watson only gets 12 games, but Isaiah Rodgers or Calvin Ridley gets a year?
Yeah, I mean, it's they're obviously drastically different situations with Deshaun. Obviously, he wasn't accused. He wasn't found guilty. Or he was accused, wasn't found guilty. And taking Deshaun Watson out of the game, taking him out of football, doesn't change what the NFL is, what the product they're presenting is. You throw in another quarterback, and it's not going to look as good, but it's still the product. With the gambling, if you're betting on your own team, that is insider trading. It's not the official term, but that's what it is.
That's what it is, yeah.
And that affects the actual product. If a receiver bets on himself to only get, you know, if he bets, I'm going to get under 100 yards receiving, and he drops the game-winning pass because that would have been 103, then there you go. That changes the product.
I tend to agree. The gambling thing to me, like,
there's no consistency with, you know, the illegal stuff, suspensions anyway.
No, there's no consistency. Like, the Tom Brady thing allegedly took air out of a football. He got 4 games for that. I used to argue. I'm like, well, you suspended Ray Rice for 2 games when you saw the first portion of the video of his then knocked out fiance. Well, clearly you thought he was responsible for it, because why else would you suspend him for 2 games? So I used to get, and then he ended up getting a full year and never really got back, right? Because they saw the second half of the video. But that one always bugged me, because I was like, all right, Tom takes air out of a football. They never even proved it. The report that they spent $2 million on, I don't know how many, I think it was close to $2 million, basically came out and said, it's more reasonable than not to say that Tom Brady took air out of the football. So that was what they used, and they gave him 4 games. With Ray Rice, they saw first half of a video of Ray Rice kind of dragging his knocked out fiance out of the elevator, and they suspended him for 2 games, basically admitting, yeah, we believe you did that, but only 2 games worth. And then they saw the second half of the video of him actually hitting her, and then they suspended him for the season, which I always thought was weird. It's like, you knew he was the one who knocked her out, but then when you saw it, it made it worse. So yeah, there's a lot of inconsistencies. However, I don't even think I disagree now. Guys are going to screw up and break the law and do stupid things. But if the integrity of the game starts to crack, then you potentially lose this league. And I mean it. If we get wind that a ton of these players are doing exactly what you just laid out there, Angel, of a guy bets on himself, maybe bets on his team to win, but he's under 100 yards. You know, he can easily drop a couple of passes to make sure he doesn't get that. That's an interesting take. But the second we get a real whiff of that, gambling world is done, at least in the NFL. And maybe you're done watching the NFL if you're thinking there's some kind of fix that's in. So, yeah, you screw with the game, we come after you.
I also think this acts as a warning to the other players. Like, These players get orientations about what not to do as a professional athlete, as an employee of the NFL. Mm-hmm. They're told what not to do. And if you still go out and do it thinking, I'm not going to get caught, they're not going to find out. It's the NFL. They are going to find out. They will dig up emails from 20 years ago and you will lose your job. They will find out.
Yeah.
And some of these, they're still kids, some of them. Not even 20 years old yet. They are still making mistakes that they think they can get away with, and you can't when you're at that high of a level and everybody's watching you.
Yeah, it's they're cracking down on so many different areas.
And they're getting in front of it because gambling is going to continue to grow and involve itself with sports.
It's a massive thing, man. It's increased everybody's. Every sport has had a bigger piece of the pie now because the pie has gotten so much bigger. I mean, I don't know about the WNBA's ratings, but we were talking about that yesterday with Brittany Griner about the charter flight thing. I got to imagine, because that's going on right now, right? There you go. But I got to imagine people are watching it more because you can gamble on it. I mean, if you throw $5 at a WNBA game, you might be more likely to sit down and watch the whole thing because you have a vested interest. I think every sport has grown substantially because of gambling. I think the NHL probably has. Again, no numbers in front of me, but I would imagine golf. But the second you get a whiff of somebody trying to screw with that, then you have to step in and make that, you have to be strict. So while the optics compared to Deshaun Watson situation, and again, Calvin Ridley's wasn't gambling on the NFL though, right? He was just gambling. Wasn't that what it was? I didn't think he was actually gambling on the NFL, was he?
Ridley?
Yeah.
I think he was gambling on the NFL.
It was the NFL? Okay. Well, that's their number one rule. Don't bet on the NFL. Number one rule of not betting on the NFL is don't bet on the NFL. Number two is don't bet on the NFL. Here's the rules. Don't bet on the NFL, number one. Number two, don't gamble at your team facility while traveling for a road game or stay at a team hotel. So you can't gamble on anything when you're at your team facility or you're traveling for a road game or you're staying at a team hotel. Basically, while you're at work or on their dime, you can't gamble on anything. Don't have someone bet for you. I don't know how they're going to regulate that until some people just start ratting them out. Don't share team inside information. That one, again, is that's tough to navigate through. Don't enter a sports book during the NFL playing season. Now, my question, Angel, is that you don't enter a sports book, so you can't get on your phone and enter any kind of a sports book on your phone.
Right.
The old terms used to be you can't go in person. Now it's on your phone. So you can't even gamble at all during the playing season. You can't gamble on golf or chess or any of that stuff during the season. Don't play daily fantasy football. Those all make sense. Wonder why wouldn't you be able to gamble or don't enter a sports book during the NFL playing season? Like, you can't bet on a basketball game if you're...
I mean, you're opening the door for temptation.
I guess.
Say, oh, I can bet on NBA. If I put together a 7-leg parlay with NBA and NHL games and I have one little, 50 yards receiving bet at the end of that, maybe I can get away with it.
Mm.
So just better not to just don't, can't have it. These are grown adults. I know I said some of them act like kids and they are still kids, but they're grown adults. You can sit 60 plus of them in a room and say, hey, do not do these 7 things and you'll be fine. If you do one of these things, there's going to be consequences.
It's only 6 things.
Whatever. It should just be 3 words. Do not gamble.
On anything?
On anything. You can go a few months of the year without gambling. I think your focus should be on playing football.
No, and that's what about year round? I'm kind of torn on this too. Like,
well,
gambling year round.
Pro athletes talk to each
that's
other.
That's what I'm saying. I mean, we know that Russell Wilson and Michael Porter Jr. are pals. That is all over the Patrick Mahomes, Travis Kelce, and Steph Curry and Klay Thompson are going golfing, right? You don't think that they're developing a friendship from this? Talking some trash to each other, but also becoming friends better? Absolutely they are. So I'm kind of the mindset, why stop there? If you're telling them they can't gamble during the season, And I get what you're saying is like, okay, if we shut it off during the season, they're not tempted to gamble on the NFL during the season. So they can't even open a sports book. You can't even be sitting at your couch. You can't even log into a sports book from August or whenever training camp starts, July 28th to after the Super Bowl. You can't touch it. And that will hopefully lead you to not even be tempted to, if you want to go bet on the Bulls-Lakers game, oh, by the way, I want to throw this in. So they're trying to just cut it out there. I'm more of the mindset, cut it all out. They know each other. That's a bad look. Some of these guys might develop really good friendships, and they can easily text another guy and say, hey, I know so-and-so's got a bum ankle. He's listed as questionable, but he ain't playing. Hey, you go weekly and go catch a beer? Go grab a beer? Catch a beer. Like, if Michael Porter Jr.'s in town the same time Russell Wilson's in town, do the two of them go out for a coffee? And I'm not saying those two would gamble. They don't strike me as gamblers. But just for the sake of the argument, they're sitting around the coffee table and they're bored. And, you know, guy's like, what do we got? What kind of action's going on out there? Guy opens it up and Russ is like looking at a basketball game. And Porter happens to have some inside information right then and there. Inside information that you and I cannot get, Angel. So I'm kind of with you. I'm of the mindset where you just nix it all. Get rid of all of it. 22 minutes after the 12 o'clock hour, some tough news. Former Arkansas quarterback Ryan Mallett, who played in the NFL for 7 years, died yesterday in an apparent drowning at a Florida beach, according to the Okaloosa County Sheriff's Office. He was 35 years old. We all know the name Ryan Mallett. Sheriff's Office said first responders were called to a beach in Destin, Florida, around 2:12 p.m. local time, as a group of people swimming in the Gulf of Mexico near a sandbar struggled to make their way back to shore. One of the individuals, later identified as Mallett, was not breathing when he was pulled out of the water and was transported to a local hospital where he was pronounced dead. Awful, awful story. Just terrible. Of course, you think of his family, and J.J. Watt, I know, is connected to Ryan Mallett. Just one of those stories you don't want to read, because we all kind of know, we know of Ryan Mallett. So thinking about his family today and all those impacted. 23 minutes after the hour, we'll take a short break. We do have the NHL draft coming up tonight, and the Avs are making some moves. We'll go over those, and we'll go over them in more detail later on in the program with Kyle Fredrickson. See what the Avs can do, man. Recharge, get back into being a competitor, a contender for the Stanley Cup. Maybe so. 23 minutes after the hour, it's the whole show powered by PDC Energy. We're on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Catch KFKA's own Jerry Schimmel back on the call for the Colorado Rockies on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Hey, it's Andrew Bogish from CBS Sports Radio. You're listening to the whole show on 1310 KFKA.
Well, I know you guys care about your pets. Maybe Tanner doesn't, but mostly everybody else cares about their pets. That's why you go to Pooter Pet and Feed Supply. They will get you the hook up there, man. Your cat guy, dog guy, whatever, smaller pets. You're into the rodents for some reason. I don't really understand that, owning hamsters and rats and stuff. But at Pooter Pet and Feed Supply, they'll hook you up, man, no matter what. They'll be there for you. Got locations in Fort Collins and Windsor, and they're always hooking up their customers. First Advantage text line 888-530-0043. Our tight-knit brewing poll question of the day: what are your expectations for the Denver Broncos? Well, the Avs are moving and shaking, man. We got the NFL or NHL draft tonight, starting tonight. And we're going to see, man, what the Avs think they can do. They are piecing things together. You got first-year GM Chris McFarland is really moving things around. They acquired the rights to restricted free agent Ross Colton from the Lightning in exchange for the number 37 pick, which would be a second-round pick in the 2023 draft. That was the pick that they just got yesterday with the Alex Newhook deal. So basically, the Avalanche traded Alex Newhook to end up with Colton from Tampa and the number 31 overall pick That's a first rounder that they got from Montreal. So anyway, I'm wrong on that. They got the first round pick, right? Newhook, they got the number 31 pick from Montreal, and then they used the second round pick to get Colton from Tampa. So now they've got a 31st pick, which is a first rounder. They've got the 27th pick, and they've got, well, now they don't have the second round pick. So what are they going to do with those? Are they going to package those together? Obviously, they just picked up Ryan Johansson too, who I think is going to be a big piece to what the Avs are doing. But they're rolling, man. Predators traded Johansson to the Avs. He's a question mark, though, because he's kind of on the injury side of things. He said he's close to 100%, but he had a leg injury after his trade from Nashville, or he talked about the trade. Can he bounce back? So maybe that's a good piece there. Kyle Fredrickson will give us some more details there. So what we know with the Avs, they got rid of the early second-round pick, and now they have two first-rounders. What will they do? Can they package those and move? Everything that I'm reading this morning, Angel, was like the prospect pool in the draft this year is about 30. It's about 30. So the Avs are kind of in the late part of that as far as guys that are projected to really move on and do something big in the NHL the next few seasons. The Avs might kind of be on the outskirts there. So do they take those two that aren't as valuable? Because if you got a spot inside 26, 25, 24, even the 20s, you probably like your chances to land somebody. But everything I'm reading is that right where the Avs are might be the cusp. They're at 27 and 31. So can they get something together with those two and even move up into the first round? Another situation coming up that JT Compher is likely going to go to the open market for the Avs. He's going to be an unrestricted free agent on July 1st. So more Avs stuff coming up with our boy Kyle Fredrickson from the Denver Gazette. I look forward to that conversation in the 1 o'clock hour. Also, keep in mind, Friday is when NBA free agency officially really starts up. So we'll start to get some ideas quickly about what's going to happen with Bruce Brown. Interesting comments from Calvin Booth the other day about this Nuggets roster, so I want to talk about that. So plenty to come up here on the show. Zach Stevens with DNVR Broncos is going to talk to us about what to expect from training camp coming up in a month from today. So Zach's going to join us next. It's the whole show. Let's jump out real quick, Angel, and get the latest on the local sports flash.
This is Ed Werder, NFL reporter for ESPN and a 1982 graduate of the University of Northern Colorado. Hope you'll continue to listen to the award-winning Hull Show, 1310 KFKA.
Training camp is pretty much exactly a month away, so we're getting excited to see more of a glimpse into what the new Sean Payton era holds for the Denver Broncos. And who better to help us paint that picture than Zach Stevens, Broncos insider with DNVR Broncos. Zach, when I originally read the headline about practices being limited to 3,000 fans and you got to get a ticket, but it's free, but it's, again, it's first come, first serve kind of deal, I thought, oh, is that Sean Payton controlling the narrative a little more? But it looks like it's a regulations thing with Arapahoe County.
Yeah, Brady, I thought the exact same thing. And you know what? It would have fit in right in line with everything else that Sean Payton is doing. But yeah, according to the Broncos, Arapahoe County has limited them. And what I heard was it's because of the construction that's going on in the parking lots surrounding the Broncos facility. So it kind of takes away from the Broncos parking. But I wouldn't be shocked, and this is me going out here, I wouldn't be shocked if that limit stays through next year. But yeah, it's a huge bummer for fans, mm-hmm, because, you know, it's a pain to get a ticket, even if it's a free ticket, which they are, and they're on sale right now. Go to the Broncos website in order to find them, and you buy them through Ticketmaster. No fees, shockingly, even through Ticketmaster. So that's really good. But it's a bummer for fans to have to reserve tickets ahead of time. Training camps such a casual thing. You just want to be able to pick up the fam and go one day if you can. And now you have to get a ticket ahead of time, and a lot of days are already sold out. And then the other bummer is last year there was a practice that had 7,200 fans there. Now they're capping it at 3,000. So this is unfortunately an L, not necessarily because of the Broncos, but it is a loss for the fans this year.
Yeah, I was going to ask you how many. So more than double that last year was there for camp. Yeah, that part's kind of a tough deal when you don't get as many folks out there, because people are excited. They want to see what Sean Payton's about. And as you know more than anybody, Zach, we haven't been able to tell them what this Broncos team is all about, because you guys can only give us so much because of the restrictions that we saw during OTAs and everything.
Exactly. And now the good thing is, from my understanding, when fans are out at practice during training camp, the media rules are going to be opened up, and we're going to be able to talk more about what happened, and I'm going to be able to tell you exactly how Russ looks, what's going on. So that's going to be a nice 12 practices where, even though not a lot of fans are going to be able to attend, they still will know more about the team because media is going to be able to tell more about what's going on. And so, Sean, there's 12 practices, and Sean's just going to have to put up with that, and then he'll shut us down again right after.
Oh, man. It's that in and of itself is an interesting side story, just about how Sean Payton is running everything here. Zach, I don't remember if we really got too much into this, but we had Hugh Millen on the program earlier, former NFL guy, Washington Huskies quarterback, and he, of course, he followed Russell Wilson forever. I asked him about the workout video, the electric slide thing that he's got going there. I'll be honest, when I watched it, I'm kind of like, it doesn't bug me that much. Hugh was talking, and I know Schlereth was hitting it in the Denver market, was about like, hey, now that he's off the leash, he's just going to go right out and break the rules and put a social media post out about him working out. I didn't read it as that. I didn't think it was that big a deal. But I guess, you know, when you add the string of everything that he's done the last year and a half, I guess so. Is there any backlash for Russ from Sean Payton? Is this like, hey, Russ, this is what I told you not to do?
Yeah, not yet. But Brady, the timing was just fascinating. I mean, school got out for summer that Thursday for the Broncos with mandatory minicamp wrapping up. Then it was the weekend. And then the very first quote-unquote day of summer that following Monday is when Russ dropped this on Monday. And it just, the timing couldn't have been worse for people that want to speculate on, wow, Russ gets away from Sean and then all of a sudden he posts this video. However, that was about 10 days ago, and we haven't seen another one, which is good. And you know what? I don't think Sean Payton minds that much if Russ posts one or a couple of workout videos over this 6-week break. I don't think Sean would ask Russ to do that. I certainly don't think he loves it, but I don't think he minds a couple. But what Sean would mind is something every single day or a couple of times a week, especially if it came with a slogan. Let's ride with last year. The slogan, the hashtag that was on this post was hashtag restoration season. I think Sean would really mind that if a slogan starts coming with that, because then that is Russ breaking from the Broncos brand and being one of the guys and being just one of the 53 guys on the team and being a teammate, to then trying to sell his brand again. And we know that Russ, on and off the field, from Let's Ride last year to, he has many, many different brands. He has a foundation. He has a Good Man brand, a clothing apparel. He has another clothing brand, Three Man brand, that he has so many different brands of, and he likes to be that. And Sean's not going to limit him off the field when it comes to those other brands, but on the field and in the facility, when it comes to the Let's Ride, when it comes to making personal brands, he does not want that. He wants Russ to be just one of the 53 guys on the team.
Do you think it was a case where Russ shut him? I mean, they seem to like each other. I mean, they're going to basketball games and dinners and all that stuff. Do you think that was a case where Russ shot him a text and said, is this cool? Or do you think he just did it?
My guess is he just went out and did it. I think if he would have asked Sean probably would have been like,
no.
I mean, you can. Yeah, you know, one time maybe. But Russ, like I said, he is all about his brands, and credit to him. He's taken a major step back of promoting his brands, of promoting other brands, of doing sponsorships, of posting a lot. That's why when there was one workout video last year, we were getting those almost daily. That's why when he actually does have one this year, it's actually newsworthy, and it's something that it's worth talking about because it is so infrequent. And so credit to Russ. He understood that last year was a disaster on the field, off the field, in terms of his personal outlook, how he was viewed. And so he has taken a step back, and then it's not going to come back to bite him as much if things don't go right again this year. The story will have kind of already been written from last year. If things do work well, well, then the Broncos and Sean Payton are going to get a lot of that credit. And then, of course, that'll also help all of Russ's brands.
Zach Stevens, DNVR Broncos, joining us. Zach, what do you know about Dalvin Cook right now? Is that heating up at all for the Broncos, or do we think that that might just fade away and he's going to end up with, I don't know, the Patriots or the Dolphins or something?
Yeah, it's kind of on the back burner right now. I wouldn't say, I don't think it's heating up at all, but I also don't think that the Broncos are completely out of this thing. I don't think they're the favorites. It seems pretty clear to me that the Dolphins are the favorites here, but Dalvin isn't trying to speed up this process for a couple of reasons. He is wanted. He has a couple of offers. I believe Tom Pelissero put that out there yesterday, that he has multiple offers waiting out there. So it's not like he's trying to search for people to offer him a job. There's teams out there that are willing to give him a deal. And then also, he's a veteran. He might not want to report at the beginning of training camp. He might want to hold this thing out until the middle of preseason if he wants. So he's not in a rush right now. And now, so it's about figuring out, okay, where is Javonte Williams' health? And it would actually be beneficial for the Broncos if Dalvin Cook decides not to sign with the team until the middle of training camp, the middle of the preseason, right before the start of the season, because then the Broncos can truly gauge where Javonte Williams is at right now. One of the things that Sean Payton has said over this offseason program is that Javonte Williams will be ready to go at the start of training camp. I think Sean Payton did a very, very smart thing with choosing his words by saying ready to go. Brady, does that mean he's ready to practice? Does that mean he's just going to be out there on the practice field? Does that mean he's 100%? Sean Payton was smart with his choice of words by just leaving it very vague. If Javonte, I expect him to be practicing in some capacity at the start of camp. If he's practicing and he really is 100%, it's not worth it to go out and pay Dalvin Cook $8 million. If he's practicing but clearly not going to be 100% until middle of October, then especially if the Broncos want to make the playoffs this year, it makes a whole heck of a lot of sense to try to pay him $6, $8 million, whatever that price is going to be. Then you start getting in a bidding war with other teams. So the longer this goes, I think the better it is for the Broncos, actually.
Yeah, and I think you said it earlier in all this when Dalvin Cook's name or any running back's name kind of came up. You said whoever they get will kind of tell you how they're really feeling about Javonte Williams' health at this stage. So that continues to be the case. Zach, we haven't done this in a while, but are you ready for some rapid fire, my friend?
I'm always ready, Brady.
I got so many questions. I probably asked you a couple of these. So I started this up, and I started my five biggest questions for the Broncos as we get closer to camp. So I'm going to ask you those questions. Let's get to it.
Rapid fire.
Okay, Zach. Zach Stevens, DNVR Broncos. Will Sean Payton be as good as advertised?
Yes, he will. And maybe even further than that, even more than advertised.
Who will be Russ's go-to next season?
Going to be Jerry Jeudy, because he's going to emerge as the guy that people think he can be.
Is Greg Dulcich good?
Yes. I like that you put it as good, because I think that's an easy one. I think he can be great.
Okay.
But I definitely think he's good.
Javonte Williams' health. That's it. There's just a question mark. You tell me what to do with that.
Cautiously optimistic. So the Broncos are very optimistic. I am buying into it to an extent, Brady, just extremely cautious about it.
I've asked you this before, so I'm going to add a little caveat to it. Can Russ bounce back? And in your mind, is he a Hall of Famer? If not, what does he need to do to get there?
Ooh, I think he's a Hall of Famer based off his first 10 years in the NFL before coming to the Broncos. But he can ruin it with the Broncos. So I do think he bounces back enough to be a Hall of Famer, and that just means, you know, not be a losing quarterback during his time with the Broncos. And I think eventually with a Super Bowl ring, with 9 of 10 seasons making the Pro Bowl, having a winning record during his time in Seattle, I do think he'll make the Hall of Fame unless things go just completely wrong like they did last year, and that continues for a year or two here.
Bonus question. It's our tight-knit brewing poll question of the day for you, Zach. What are your expectations for the Broncos? Meaning, if they don't meet these expectations, next year's a failure.
Well, I don't want to sound like George Payton a couple of years ago and say be competitive in November and December. This team has to be competitive at least in November. This team has to be pushing for a winning record. And what I mean by that is the last game of the season, if they're 8-8, that's probably a successful season. Just, I mean, that's a 3-game jump from last year, even if they lose that last game. So I don't want to be too hard on if they have a winning record or not, but they have to get to at least 8 games and 8 wins and be competitive in those. I mean, it can't be where at the end of the season they're playing meaningless games and go from 7 wins or 6 wins to 8 wins. If they're competitive throughout the season and right around 500 throughout the season, right now, I know fans won't sign up for that, but at the end of the season, you'll look and you'll say, okay, they won 8 games. That's 3 more than last year. They won 9 games, which I think actually would be a pretty darn successful season. They won 9 games. That's 4 more than last year. That's a lot to build on coming from just where this organization was. And next year, fans will be saying at this time, they'll be saying, what if we take another 3-4 game jump? Then we're not just a playoff team. We're competing for the Chiefs for the division right now. Or what if it's just a little more mild of a jump? Worst case scenario, if the Broncos win 8 games this year, they take a 3-game jump, and then next year they take a 2-game jump. That's 10 wins, and you're in the playoffs right there. And it's even more. You're at 11 wins if you win 9 this year. So I think that right now fans want more than that, but realistically, if their winning record, pushing for a winning record, that would be a good season, not a masterful season by any means. You know, a masterful season's making it to the playoffs, getting a playoff win, pulling off an upset. That's when fans would just be over the moon about this team.
Yeah, great stuff from you, Zach. As always, nobody better when it comes to in-depth conversations and coverage of all things Denver Broncos. Zach, a couple weeks away, man, and we're going to at least get into training camp.
Man, how about it? 1 month away from training camp as of today, Brady.
I'm ready to rock and roll. Let's go. I don't know if I'll get the ticket, but maybe you can hook me up down there, Zach. We'll see.
I'm sure we know people, Brady.
All right, my man. Appreciate you, and we'll hope to catch up with you next week.
Love it. Thanks, Brady.
12:50 the time. We'll finish up hour number two. Hour number three, a lot of good stuff coming up. Calvin Booth says, I'm going to bring them all back, everybody on that roster. Is that realistic? Do we want that? Also, Kyle Fredrickson from the Denver Gazette will join us to go in depth on what the Avs might do with those draft picks tonight. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy, a Northern Colorado's voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Rodeo Radio is back during the Greeley Stampede, only in Northern Colorado's voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Hey, this is Ellison Hubbard, former CSU Ram, and you're listening to The Whole Show on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
I want to thank Renaissance Insurance Group in Windsor, formed by two UNC Bears alumni 20 years ago. Renaissance Insurance has always had our backs. Ryan is my guy. I know him well. Ryan Hicks, an excellent dude. And I always kind of say this. There's a lot of people that do insurance, and I would suggest go with the one that supports the community. Go with the one that can get you. Obviously, you want the best rates. You want the best deals. That's Ryan, and that's the group. That's Renaissance Insurance Group, and they're going to get you there. Don't lose what you've been working so hard for. Call him at 970-674-8825. That's 674-8825. Risk management, commercial and personal insurance needs. Go-to for workers' compensation, farming operations. Yeah, you're going to want to try my great friends over at Renaissance Insurance. 5 minutes until the 1 o'clock hour. Stay tuned because we'll also interview Kyle Fredrickson of the Denver Gazette about what the Avs might do. Already moving and shaking, trading that second-round pick for a player. They acquired another first-round pick, so they do have number 27 and number 31 for tonight's draft. It's weird that it's on a Wednesday. It always seems like drafts are like on a Thursday. They start on a Thursday or a Friday even. Wasn't the NBA draft on Friday? Or was it Thursday?
I want to say it was Tuesday.
Oh, well, then what are we talking about? They're all over the place. Just drafts are... Baseball draft is like speckled throughout the summer, like random days. You know, every third Sunday they'll have a first round, and in 2 weeks they'll have the second round. No, I don't think so. But Calvin Booth, we're going to talk about him as well. I thought it was interesting what he had to say. Is that more of just a positive, hey, we want to bring everybody back? Or is that realistic, and do we want that to be realistic? The big names that we'll go over... Bruce Brown, Ish Smith, Jeff Green, Thomas Bryant, DeAndre Jordan, Reggie Jackson. Do you want to see the Nuggets bring every one of those guys back? Just keep the entire band back together. So we'll get to that, and we'll see. Dixon texting in on the Russell Wilson. Brady, for Russ, it would be like you talking a bunch of crap and getting made fun of for going to the Den every weekend and then posting getting a lap dance at the Den the next weekend. Would that be the same thing? Is that the same thing as Russell Wilson? By the way, that might be our first Den reference since we've been in the new studio. So congratulations, Dixon. You nailed it. Awesome work by you. 12:57 the time. 1 o'clock hour coming up. We'll talk to Kyle Fredrickson. More on the Nuggets, more on the Avs. All that and more coming up next.